Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to him forever.
Mary of Egypt, whose Sunday we celebrate today, valued all of the temporal attractions, the way of the world. She valued the lust of the flesh more than anything else. And in fact, she was indeed enslaved by her passions. Running away from home at age 12, she made herself a harlot. For 17 years, she was self-abused. She wouldn't even accept money for her harlotry. But she did it for the insatiable desires that drove her on. She didn't see the image of God in herself or in others. She made herself an object of insatiable passions. When we seek or give in to the vanities of the world over the kingdoms of heaven, power, influence, material wealth, we are, in a sense, doing the same thing that Mary did. We are giving ourselves over, our identity over, to something else. Now, Mary's case is extreme, but in our own lives, we have to analyze and think about the way in which we allow the world to control us, to enslave us, the way in which we give our heart and our soul over to the things that we think will bring us material comfort, or perhaps the things that feed us or temporarily numb us to the deep spiritual needs of our soul that was made to be in communion and relationship with God, and that without God is never at rest. We can make ourselves feel better, at least temporarily, by putting others down, by giving into the wants of the flesh, by lording it over others. But this broken pattern, this way of the world, is a dead-end street. Good looks fade with age, power and influence too are temporal, riches can quickly turn into poverty in a bad economy or a natural disaster. And if our hope is in any of these things, then we're truly to be pitied, because all of these things are passing away. Because he loves us, the Lord desires better for us. He desires that we live with eternity before our eyes. That is, to understand our identity as those who are hidden in him. He would have us place our hope in his changelessness and not in those things that are quickly passing away. He desires to help us so that we can put off sin and death and cleave to him who is life. Worldly success, power, and influence all feed our egos. And so, for this reason, the proud person is focused on himself. He is focused on his own ego. And for that reason, the proud person cannot see God, cannot deal with his passions, cannot find healing from the Lord, because God himself is humble, not proud. And so if we desire to be in the near presence of the God who condescended to become man, and yet is the creator of the entire universe, who prioritized the needs of others over his own needs when he lived in this life, Jacob Dude, then we have to learn humility from him, from the source of that humility, Jesus Christ. Pride as such is incompatible with communion with him. God demonstrates himself to us as the ultimate servant. He condescends to us. He gives his own life to defeat sin and death on the cross for us. He bears with us patiently in our struggles, as a parent bears patiently with the child he loves. He disciplines us in his love that we may grow and learn to participate more and more fully in the life that he alone is. In today's gospel, Jesus reminds his disciples that he must suffer torture and death in order to defeat sin and death on our behalf, to make a way for us to inherit the kingdom prepared for us. And these are such stirring words that he reveals to his disciples. He reveals them to them that he must die, that mankind may live. But immediately after telling them these stirring words, these gripping words that they don't yet understand, that he will die on their behalf and on behalf of the entire world so that he can defeat sin and death, that he is the ultimate, the final Pascha, the final Passover, the disciples begin doing what? They begin vying with each other for who will be on top in his kingdom. They picture the kingdom of heaven just like the way of the world where influence and power politics can get you on top. And we can imagine some of the disciples falling prey to this mistaken thinking because we ourselves might have done the same. Jesus reminds us all that the way of the world won't get us anywhere in the economy of heaven. What's valued in the world is poison for the soul that desires the kingdom of heaven. Instead, Jesus shows us a better way. Jesus shows us a way of liberation from our passions, liberation from slavery to this world and to all its vanities and ego and self-glory and selfishness. A way that enables them and us to commune with the living God, to find freedom from all of these things that would otherwise tear us away from him. He says, whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. This is also the story of Mary. She was busy wearing out her body and destroying both her body and her soul when she was confronted by the icon of the Theotokos. The icon of the Virgin convicted her with her purity, her humility. She was forbidden entrance into the Holy Church of the Cross in Jerusalem, where she wanted to venerate. She couldn't enter into the holy presence of Christ's victory over sin and death. She couldn't bear communion with him in her present state. And so she was forbidden that a new life, a change, might happen in her that would heal her and that would set her as an example for all time. The Holy Virgin, whose loving and pure image confronted her, was everything that Mary was not. The Theotokos in her purity, in her covering, in her humility, in her yes to God's love and calling on her life, in her servanthood and in submission, was outwards and inwardly a mirror image to Mary's licentiousness, her vanity, her uncoveredness, her no to God and to his likeness in her. And as a result, Mary knew no love. She didn't even know what the word meant, but the Theotokos knew only love. And so in her despair over this realization, she desired a change. She desired liberation. She desired a new beginning with even greater fervor than she had desired the flesh up until that point. She turned away from her former life that was death and towards a new life in Christ who is life. After years of self-abuse and giving into the basest of passions, it took Mary 17 years of intense struggle through prayer and extreme fasting to find freedom and win the victory over her passions. Because no one is beyond God's healing and grace if they are willing to humble themselves, to admit and confess their sins before God. As Christ God spoke to the sinful woman who anointed his feet with her tears in her other gospel, saying, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." And how is her faith manifested? Her faith is manifested in her outward actions that reflect her inward actions. Her anointing of Christ's feet, her weeping over her sins at his feet, and washing them with her hair. And Christ proclaims that this is faith, and that this faith has saved her And as a result, because he can see in her heart and its reflection in her outward actions, grants her forgiveness of her sins and a new beginning. Many times we may despair of the change that we know that we need in God. Many times we give up and we think, I am just this way. There's nothing that I can do to change my ways. What the story of St. Mary reminds us is that this is not true, that this is a lie, that the evil one speaks to us to keep us in our place, to keep us from growing and healing and experiencing more and more of Christ and growing in his humility and his love to become the beautiful, godly, adopted sons and daughters that he has called us to be. And so this Sunday, Christ, through his Holy Church, has us focus on St. Mary to remind each of us that no matter what your struggles are, no matter what your passions are, no matter what your patterns are, look at St. Mary. Look at what she did by God's grace. Look at the cooperation that she exercised with the Holy Spirit. If Mary can do it, every single one of us can as well. And so we have a fervent intercessor in St. Mary to ask her for her help this day as we complete the course of the fast this week. It's not too late. Just as we'll hear in St. John Chrysostom's homily at Pascha, even those who come at the 11th hour are ushered into the kingdom. And so this gives us hope. Our growth in the likeness of God, our return to our full selves, whom God has made us to be as his adopted sons and daughters, as those who have put on Christ and for whom much has been forgiven, begins with this humility. It begins with confession. It begins with a desire, just as it did with St. Mary, for a change, for growth, for healing. And God is always faithful. He always does his part, and he helps us with even that mustard seed of a desire that is in us for a change. He grants it to us, because this is what he created us for. This is how his love and his humility is manifested towards us, and that he receives us as we are, with whatever we can give him, whatever we can offer him. He always gives us more in return. He gives us everything that we allow him to give us. It's only from this starting point of repentance and forgiveness that we learn to come outside ourselves to love our brothers in the world. We often hear and we often feel in ourselves, we feel guilt because we're not doing more in the world. Well, brothers and sisters, if you want to do more for the world and the people in the world around you, it begins here. It begins with you and I turning our lives to Christ. It begins with our struggle for freedom from our passions, our bad habits, our bad ways, our egos, our pride. If we really want to change the world, it begins here with Christ in his church. It begins by attending the divine services. It begins by prioritizing your daily prayers with Christ. It begins with repentance and more fervent pleading with God to help us. Begins by reading the lives of the saints in the Holy Scriptures. Step by step, as we get ourselves to church, as we listen, as we open our ears to hearing the lives of the saints, and hearing the divine verses, we're changed. We open ourselves up more to God. And so the real key is just to get ourselves here, to get ourselves to divine services, to get yourself to Holy Week. In the back of the church today, there's a list of many needs for Holy Week. These are opportunities for you to come and I to come outside of ourselves. When we come outside of ourselves, we get our focus off of our problems, off of our passions, off of our woe is me mentality, off of our egos, and we end up becoming more like Christ. It's really a key to the Christian life. And so for that reason, it's vital that we make a priority of it over all of the other things in our world that are so tempting and busy. The church is the place of healing for us. It is the place of growth for us. And so I encourage you with everything that I have to make a priority of the pre-sanctified liturgy this Wednesday, of the divine services next weekend as we begin Holy Week together. Nothing is more important than the work that God is doing in our lives now. And this holy season, a little of which we have left, to see God work change in us as we allow Him to. Through humility and repentance, we grow in love. We become communicants of life eternal. We become children of the Most High God. We own our identity in Him. Or in the case of St. Mary, we're given a new identity. We grow in those virtues and that reality that is the true identity in Christ. Those who have put on Christ, as we've heard in the epistle today. God has overcome the world, and that which partakes of Him rise up to eternal life. And so as Holy Week approaches, may we, with increased fervor, put Christ in His kingdom first and receive the fruits of our labors, looking unto Christ, the author and finisher of our faith, as we ask Holy Mother Mary to pray for us sinners. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to Him forever.
If you have made a confession in the past month, prepared this day through prayer and fasting to receive the holy gifts, or are visiting with us today and are prepared to receive, please prepare.